Hello, welcome to Stardust Records, a Star Wars podcast. I am your host, Savi, and I'm here with the other host, Linz. And we are not okay. We just finished watching the Acolyte episode. Is it five?
Five.
Episode five? It's labeled Night, which Linz was right about. You got that. You guessed that last coverage episode. But this episode, like all of other Acolyte coverage episodes, we are joined by a very special guest, one we've been wanting on the pod for so long, Leah.
Hi, I'm Leah, she, her. Happy to be here.
We're so excited for you to join us, especially to talk about some aspect of the High Republic. The Acolyte, is the same era, and we're really focused on this era on our podcast right now because it's
Yeah.
so, I guess, visceral right now. Like, it's a big topic conversation in the
Yeah, we've got both
fandom.
Phase 3 and Acolyte.
Yeah, we're eating so well as High Republic
And in
fans.
August, we're going to have more Young Jedi Adventures, the most important part of the High
Yes.
Republic. And I'm not
Yes.
being sarcastic when I say that.
I love that show so much. I'm so excited for it to come back. It is going to be a really welcome, warm hug after the Acolyte.
I
Specifically
know.
after
After
this episode, which we'll get
yes.
to.
This.
Never trust an episode of a Star Wars show with Knight in the title.
Never.
No. Oh, because Jedi Knight. Oh, that's when we
Yeah.
lost Kanan. Oh, my goodness. This is so wrong. We should have known. We should have known there would be a high death count.
This is the High Republic.
We were so wrong last episode. I was like, I think they're just trying to pull our leg. I don't think Chimer is really the guy. Like, I don't think he's he. I don't think it is. I think they're gonna do something a little bit more tricksy than that. No. He definitely was he, and he was terrifying. And even though we were thinking like, oh, it could be Chimer, it probably is Chimer, with all the clues dropped in there, I still think that his reveal was insane. Like, I wasn't like,
Right.
oh, it was him all along. Oh no. No. It was Chimer all along.
It's like how in season one of The Mandalorian, everyone knows what Pedro's face looks like. But we were all still like, but what does he look like under the helmet?
Yeah.
It's the same thing of like, yeah, we all, a lot of us saw that there was a strong possibility that that was going to be the case. But that doesn't take away from the reveal.
No, not at all. Especially with how this re specific reveal was done with the not showing his face for a little bit. Like, we had to kind of watch the fight from kind of chest down. And
Right.
I was just wondering, I was like, maybe it's not Chimer. I wanted it so badly not to be. And we talked about it with our last coverage episode. I was convincing myself that he was a red herring all along. But even though it was obvious in like a good storytelling aspect slash way, the reveal with him killing Jackie and her body falling and it being him, I was like, there's something wrong with the writers of this show.
They managed to perfectly make what was, kind of the logical conclusion of who this masked maybe Sith would be.
Yeah.
They managed to still make it shocking and powerful. And I think that's really impressive. I think it's impressive that they managed to strike that balance. I think a lot of the writing decisions in this
Yeah.
episode were super impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, it really subverted my expectations. I'd love to feel things. I made a post about this, but I was like, I'd love to feel things. And I like my expectations to be subverted. And, this was an unsaid thing on that post, but I don't mind being hurt by the narrative. After a while, it gets a lot, but I don't mind being shocked, and especially if it's done well, and I feel like it was done well in this situation, as tragic as it is, and sad as it is, and hard as it is to accept. I think they did really well with the execution of it. I shouldn't have said that
Not the execution.
No. I think you made the right word choice. Look, what would be the conclusion of the Yordhorde's reign if not some maybe off-color puns?
Yeah, so true.
Exactly.
Look, we are sending him to the Yord Morgue with a smorgasbord of puns. I don't think anyone else has done
It
smorgasbord.
hurts.
Anyway,
No, I don't think anyone has done your
there you go.
org.
But going back to the first death in this series, with Indara in the first episode, I think that had the difficult task of making you care about this character's death when you literally know nothing about her. And they accomplished that by picking a beloved actress and having her be that character. So you're immediately invested in this character, and then when she dies, you're left struck by that death, which is the intended feeling. But with Jackie and Yord, they had so, they had four more episodes to build up their characters, make you really care about them, give them like a fun dynamic with the other main characters. They've got banter back and forth with each other. They involve Osha in their banter. Jackie's got the whole how she feels about Osha, and then how she feels about Osha's relationship with their master soul. And you've got Yord, who's got a Padawan back on Coruscant.
Who will
All that
tell her?
soul's feeling real bad about not leaving Jackie back on Coruscant with Tassie.
It almost reminds me a little bit of the first episode of The Boys, where those first few minutes set the tone of the show, where I'm forgetting his name, Huey loses his girlfriend to, she dies. And I remember sitting and thinking when we were watching Indara die, I was like, this is really setting the tone for the show. It's a murder mystery, so we kind of expect that, the killer is still on the loose and these bad things are going to happen. But I never would have expected it would happen to this far of an extent. But the way it was done, like the build up, like you said, Leah, it was just so, like they made us fall in love with these characters. Like with we have the Yordhorde and Jackie Jam, and now they're gone. So Lynn's actually made a really great point, but about the, if you want to say it, the spice or the red dust.
Oh, or the so I noticed in the previous episode when May is running to Kelnaka's house, she falls and lands in a pile of dirt, and the dirt kicks up and it's kind of hovering around. It kind of lingers in the air like dust almost. And it was so prominent that she would fall there and that would happen. And then, of course, we have Basil encountering her and everything. But there's this just this definite shot of her falling in it. And then later in this episode, several times different characters fell in that dirt again, and there's like this prominent shot of the dirt kicking up and going around their faces, and they're breathing it in. And it just, I know it's an alien planet, I know all aspects of it are going to feel alien, and the environment is going to be interacted with in a unique way. But it just felt really strange to me that they would focus so much on that And we know that that red dirt wasn't all over the ground, like, because there's overhead shots of the ground having been disturbed by what Chimer had done when he force pushed them back, and there's like the trails of the red dirt because the dirt had gotten like all kicked up. So I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I just thought it was really interesting that they would focus so much on the dirt, and I don't know what the dirt means or if it was just like an
Right.
aesthetic choice to do that, but it made me suspicious.
I definitely first read it as kind of an aesthetic choice, like marking a scene change. But I'm thinking on it, and most of the characters we see that for, the two that I can think of off the top of my head, other than May, are Osha at the top of the episode, and then Jackie after the kind of first leg of her fight with Dr. Teeth. And both of those times, it's they're standing up and suddenly they're alone. Suddenly he's nowhere to be seen, even though he was right there a second ago. So, yeah, I don't really know where I'm going with this either, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of shenanigans going on with that. Especially the thing of how there were the distinct tracks in the red dust, pushing back from where the Jedi originally were. It kind of seemed like somehow this dust was being used to isolate them so that he could fight them one at a time, which you've kind of got to do, because if you're surrounded by people with lightsabers, if you take a wrong step, you're gonna be hit by a lightsaber. So he had to separate them, and if he's doing some kind of crazy dust magic. Great callback to episode two of the show.
Well, the part that just keeps replaying in my head is, and I'm forgetting who says it right now, but somebody says that it was Osha talking to Yord, where she says, "My mother used to play with Jedi's heads." And it was after Yord said that he gets into your head and stays in there. So I was like, maybe it's just a dream. Like maybe they're, I don't know. I just, like, Killy, I'm probably just not accepting that they've died, so I'm coming up with
Right, like
yeah.
it, but the thing is, so Star Wars, like a lot of kind of pulpy fantasy and fantasy adjacent stories, has a notorious trend of characters refusing to stay dead, which I have a love-hate relationship with. But this is one of those cases where if it does turn out that the dust, the getting into their heads and staying there, if it does turn out that, like, actually that is the explanation and these characters aren't as dead as we thought that they were, I would accept that. I wouldn't be upset about getting Jackie and Yord back. I do think, like, they would need to find a good way to make that pay off, like, narratively, because I do think that this is doing a lot of narrative heavy lifting. Just because those are major characters that you've just killed. But I don't know. Basically, this episode made me, I mean, I was already sold on this show, but this episode, I was like, I trust that these writers have 100% confidence in what they're doing.
Yeah, to have killed off two characters like that so blatantly, yeah, for sure that they know what they're doing.
They absolutely knew that those characters were going to be beloved by the fans leading up to that, too. They knew it. I refuse to believe that they didn't foresee the Yord Horde.
Like, and now thinking back on the press tour and everything, there's only like two people left from that group. No, three people, because Chimer, but
Yeah, because other than that,
everybody else is
Kalnaka's
like
dead,
pretty much dead.
Indara's dead. Anasaya's dead.
Which is what shocks me. Like, if they're doing a, I don't know. Welcome back, Rogue One cast, where you still do a press tour, but all your characters die.
Welcome back, Rogue One. Welcome back, the Fall of Starlight Beacon.
is Starlight Beacon all over again? I feel like I've just lost Stellan Geos once again. Oh, welcome back, Stellan and Orla. I feel so. I just feel like I don't have like a way to process this so soon after watching it. So this episode will probably be like a lot of theories and unaccepting of our favorite characters dying, but oh my
Yeah.
gosh, I can't imagine where they'll go next episode. The only clip that we have, I think, is the one of, well, now I don't know whether it's Osha or Mei.
Right, now that we've gotten the lightsaber haircut,
Yeah.
welcome back, Occlusion Zone Vernestra Row.
Yeah, I don't know where they'll go with this. I don't know. And Master Soul like doesn't sense a difference, or
Well, I would
he's in
imagine he's a little
shock.
bit yeah, he's a little distressed right now. He did
Yeah.
just lose a Padawan, even though, he's happy that quote unquote Osha is still alive and with him. He's definitely not in his right. He's not in a headspace to be figuring all this out. I do like that it, even though based on the mannerisms, based on how Amanda Stenberg was walking and talking in that role, you could tell that that was Mei. And it really showed, sidebar to what I was saying, but it really showed having Mei in Osha's hair and outfit, how differently Amanda plays the two of them. The specific way that they would walk in the role, the specific mannerisms as they were talking, the tone of voice, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
But
that was so impressive.
it wasn't totally clear that that wasn't Osha until we saw the tattoo on
Yeah.
Osha on the ground.
Yeah, I another thing that really was intriguing was why was everybody's lightsabers shutting off whenever they hit him? They hit Kimir.
Welcome back, Thrawn Alliances.
I love all of these references that you just pull from the air. I'm obsessed.
I to explain that, in the plot of Thrawn Alliances, spoilers for Thrawn Alliances, but this is not a major plot spoiler. This is just kind of the setup for it. The Separatists want to make armor out of a battle droid casings out
Yeah.
of this metal called Cortosis, which originally appeared in Legends. It's appeared a few times in canon. It appeared in Dr. Aphra. And one of the things that Cortosis does is it shorts out lightsaber blades temporarily.
Yeah.
And I think this, I mean, this is the first time that we've seen Cortosis be used in any of the shows, live action or not, which is wild in and of itself that it took this long to make it in there. It's one of those things where you can point at it and be like, you had Star Wars nerds in that writing room.
Yeah.
Hello, Leslie. I see you, fan fiction writer. And I think it was used excellently.
I
I
think so
think
too.
they got a perfect balance of it would short out the lightsabers for long enough that, oh, it provides this distinct threat, but not for so long that you're like, well, they didn't even have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad that you guys brought that up because I was thinking about that after the episode, after I finished the episode. I was like, there has to be, I know there's a metal out there that messes with lightsabers that I could not remember for the life of me, but I think there's Kurtosis in Knights of the Old Republic. I think it's in the game. There's Kurtosis blades, I believe,
Yeah,
or Kurtosis armor.
I think there's both like blades and armor in some of the
Yeah.
Old Republic properties.
And I remember when I was little, when I was little, after I would play that game, I would create like lightsaber hilts that I would, label the parts of the hilts that I, the different materials and things that I knew about in Star Wars. And so, I forget what the wood is called on Kashyyyk, but there was like a wood
Brochure.
for. Yes. And so I had like that as part of the lightsaber hilt, but I also had like Cortosis inlaid in it. And I just remember doing that when I was like, I don't know, I was a teenager and I was so obsessed with creating lightsaber hilts. And so I'm so glad you brought that up because it just like brought back that memory to me. I was like,
Yeah.
oh, Cortosis. I'm so happy. I want them to confirm this so badly soon. I hope
Well,
we get a
the other
confirmation.
thing that makes me almost certain that it's Cortosis, and specifically like the canon version of Cortosis, is in Dr. Aphra, they made a big point of talking about, yes, it can short out a lightsaber, yes, it can stop a lightsaber, but it's super brittle and it will crack if you hit it too hard. And we saw that with the helmet. We saw it get just bashed and bashed and bashed, and eventually it cracks, which other lightsaber-resistant materials, namely Beskar, absolutely do not do that.
That's crazy.
I do think it's nice that even these lightsaber-resistant materials, they give them their downsides. Beskar heats up, and Cortosis cracks. I like that no one's untouchable. No one's
Yeah.
undefeatable. But yeah, that was a really cool thing to include. I'm really happy that they brought that in because it's such a little thing. And for anyone who's seen The Mandalorian, it's not at all a leap to be like, okay, yeah, it blocks lightsabers. Cool.
Yeah, because that was such a Legends thing too. Because that was a in Knights of the Old Republic, you could fight against people with lightsabers with Cortosis blades. That was kind of like the before the Beskar blades kind of thing. It was like the first blade that could, in Legends that could do that they would talk about, and then Beskar was like another one after that. So it's like we're going back to the roots. We're like pulling
Going
out.
back to the roots.
We are. But in the best way. I
Yes.
love that. I love that. Well, speaking of going back to the roots, in a sense, we had some theories about the particular motif that was played at the end of the episode when
Oh.
when Chimer goes and kneels down beside Osha. There's a familiar motif that's played, and it is the Knights or Kylo Ren's theme, particularly. So I know Leah was talking about this earlier. So why don't you expand on that a little bit?
So Knights of Ren first appeared in, I mean, they first appeared in that kind of flashback scene in Force Awakens. We first really got a good look at them in Rise of Skywalker. And most of what they did in the sequels was stand around, look cool, and occasionally beat up some guys or get beat up. Which, that's enough to get lodged in the heart of fans. And pretty quickly after that, they started showing up more in the comics. Not as much in the books, but mostly in the comics. They appeared in the Rise of Kylo Ren comics, obviously. He had to get the title from somewhere. And they appeared again in across the Kira trilogy of crossovers in the past couple years. And that kind of established a lot of the lore that we have of the Knights of Ren, namely that they definitely revere and use the dark side. They have a leader and then a bunch of kind of underlings, the knights. The leader always goes by the name Ren. The leader is the only one who's allowed to have a lightsaber. He's got a red-bladed lightsaber. They kind of put themselves in opposition to the Sith, not so much in they're ideologically opposed, but more so in it's fun to fight the people with more power than you. And that very much feels like what Chimera's got going on. But then on top of that, his helmet looks a lot like the Knights of Ren helmets.
Yeah, it really does.
Yes.
The lightsaber that he holds isn't exactly like the Ren lightsaber that we see in the comics, but we also know that the Ren lightsaber is like set to self-destruct if it gets taken out of his hand. So it's not impossible that it's been replaced a few times. I don't know if I'm 100% sold on him being a Knight of Ren or the original Ren, but I think it'll be neat. I think it'll
Yeah,
be very neat.
it's definitely a fascinating theory, especially with the motif. I think that's what you call it at the end of the episode. I missed it completely because I was mourning, but
Yeah, I was more so distressed over, oh no, OSHA's with him
yeah, it's
and
so
Sol is alone with May. I mean, Basil's there, but
Basil.
he has no one to translate. They have no one to translate for Basil.
All right, Lens.
Oh,
All right, Lens. Time out. Go to the corner of the room.
okay.
Oh.
He's gonna be trying to tell Sol, like, that's not OSHA, that's not her. And he's going, and Sol's gonna be like, what is he saying? And not OSHA is gonna be like, he's saying he's hungry. We should get some food.
Another thing that is still also sticking out to me, so many things sticking out to me and rattling around in my brain, but what did Ymir mean when he said what happened to his darkness to master soul? And how does he know that? And
Also,
when he
he
said
knows they
this,
know each other.
yes, they know each other, because when he was like,
Well, they
what
have
type of
met.
Yeah, well, he said, what type of master hides their face from their
Yeah.
apprentice? And then he said, you tell me.
What is Sol hiding?
I don't know. It's freaking me out.
Sol not telling OSHA the important facts until it's too late. He really is Vernestra Rose's student.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah, I'm so curious to see what it is. I mean, I'm sure that it will come in the form of Flashback Part 2, which has been long anticipated. I say long anticipated since episode 3. But I'm so excited and nervous to see what it is. What could he have done for even a very avowed dark side user who is chopping down Jedi with zero hesitation, poking a Padawan full of holes? What did Sol do to have someone like that be so aggressive about his wrongdoings?
I don't
I'm
know.
just... I don't know. I'm scared to find out.
and I'm not I'm not I mean I'm scared to find out, but I'm not scared to find out in a way that's like, oh, this is gonna pitch, it's gonna make the Jedi irrevocably evil, whatever. I mean, I absolutely think that the show is making the right stance and saying like, the Jedi are flawed. The Jedi make mistakes. Sometimes make really, really bad mistakes. And
Yeah.
they make absolutely the wrong choice and they have dire consequences and they should not have done that and they should have thought better.
Yeah.
While still being like, that doesn't mean that the Sith are good. That doesn't mean that the dark side is good.
Yeah. I
They're
do
still doing lots of murder.
I do love seeing this opposite, or maybe not opposite, but this altered, even altered isn't the right word. This different angle of the Jedi than what we're if we're talking specifically just about the High Republic, like I feel like, and we talked about this with Tessa on our last episode, like the Jedi in the High Republic era in the books are thriving and they are, at kind of their best in this era because, even with war and But this in peacetime, it's so interesting to see it's almost kind of like the opposite. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? Like the High Republic
Yeah.
era, there's so much war and battle and famine and blood, and they are still, I don't know where I'm going with that, but just interesting. It's a lot to think about, and with so little power to express it, because I feel like my brain is still in almost like processing mode.
Yeah, I'm still like
Yeah.
going through everything that happened.
I felt this way
Yeah.
not as severely af not as severely, but after episode 7 of Andor, because I was like, where will they go from here? But you were gonna say something. I'm sorry.
Like turning over the episode in my head, I think it's so. I really like how they used the day-night cycle to kind of separate these two episodes into parts. You have the day at the start, the night in the middle, and then the day at the end. Turns from day to night right when May says he's here. Turns from night to day right when he is carried away by the Umber Moths. I love Chekhov's moths coming back, by the way. But, and I love that the first scene that we get after the sun rises is the reunion of Osha and May. And
Like a new beginning.
we get that direct callback to the last time that they had seen each other before the 16-year thinking each other were dead, which is, what have you done? And
Yeah, I
immediately going right back to blaming each other for it. When neither of them are really at fault for what happened,
Yeah.
it, which makes me think like probably neither of them were really at fault for what happened at Brundock.
And I was going to speak to that because when we were talking about Soul, I feel like whatever information Chimer has about Soul, he got from May's interpretation of what happened that night. And so he's using it against Soul in that moment. So we don't know what May's side of that night was, and we don't know if she how she interpreted what happened, if that was correct or not. So she saw Sol and the Jedi doing something, reacting in a certain way to the coven, to Mother Anisea or Mother Coral. We don't know if what she was seeing was the correct thing. Like, I do believe that maybe the Jedi, maybe they went overboard in one area or another in that confrontation that we don't know about yet, but also maybe there was a reason for it. We know that they were probably controlled from the snippets that we've seen of those missing scenes from the trailer. So we don't really know how dark Soul got because we're seeing it probably through May's eyes. So, and she wasn't there for part of that conversation if she was there at Osha's door for part of it as well. So we don't really know if he is like, I'm sure that he struggled with what happened that night and maybe he made a bad decision, but we don't know if he's like truly as bad as this Sith or as Chimer as
Yeah.
insinuated.
I think it's very interesting because you brought up that as far as we know, Chimer wasn't there. So he's only going to have secondhand knowledge of it. And probably all of that secondhand knowledge is coming from May. And a lot of Sol's knowledge of what happened, at least away from where whatever the Jedi were doing, comes from Osha. It kind of seems like May and Osha both were kind of fed back whatever narrative would reinforce whatever idea they already had about what happened. And I'm really hoping that we get to see Sol's perspective because he's kind of the only other primary source we have for that night. And I don't know. I've spent enough time in academia to know that having more primary sources for an event is a very good thing for being able to tell what actually happened.
Yeah. I think that we will get his perspective or something close to it.
I wonder if he's going to, because he said that he was going to tell OSHA the truth when they got back to the ship. I wonder if the next episode is going to be him starting telling it, and then May as OSHA going like, "No, this is what happened," and we get the two stories overlapping.
My mouth,
Counter.
my jaw has been dropped this entire time that you were explaining that. Yes, he like goes to tell her and she hears what his version of events was. We don't like, oh my. That's gonna be crazy. I can totally
Yeah.
see that happening.
I'm excited for whatever comes from their interactions in the next episode. Because that is a duo that I guess I didn't expect to see interacting solo.
Yeah, I didn't either. Rest in peace, Jackie and Yord.
You had to
Because
bring
I
it up,
was
I guess.
firmly in the camp
Yeah.
that, like, oh no, I don't think OSHA and May are like switching sides. If anything, I think May is gonna switch over to OSHA's side and be against Dr. Teeth. I'm gonna keep calling him Dr. Teeth because
That's a
something
good
tells
one.
me Chimera isn't his real name either.
That makes sense.
I don't know. I'm just super excited to see whatever comes of it. They managed to, in one episode, tear apart this dynamic that I was in love with, the Yord, Jackie, OSHA, Soul drama quadrangle, and they constructed another one that I am just as, if not more, excited to see play out, which is OSHA and May, and then Chimera and Soul. I'm so excited to see how this tangled mess of stories and I can't fully complete this thought. I feel like I'm caught up in the red thread of it all.
Yeah, and we're here sitting here still in shock from what just occurred.
It's one of those situations where I feel like what happened in it will, like, the ending will be really satisfying, I think. Like, right now, we're in a peak, and not that the like valley is low, like it's bad. That's what I mean by that. But like I think that what is that called? The climax in the
We're at the crescendo.
We're coming up to this climax, this turning point in the story. We're gonna get some big reveals. And you could read this as being, well, what's left to reveal? We know who's behind the mask. We know who killed the Jedi. And it's like, but what really matters is like, why did all of this happen? And I'm so curious to see what it is. I'm so curious to learn more about what this inciting incident was.
Me too. I think that truly is the crux, like you said, it's the crux of the story. We got a whole episode just on the flashback, so it really is all revolving around those events and the fallout of those events.
I have no idea what to expect from here. I was trying to think about all of the clips that we got, and we said this earlier, but yeah, where we just have the one, the OSHA or May grabbing the lightsaber, but I don't know. Like,
We can't tell who it is anymore.
They
And
knew what they were
Vernestra.
doing. Yeah, that's a
And
thing.
Vernestra's light whip.
Yeah, Vernestra are
So we know
ghosts.
that she's going out in the field and she doesn't have plot armor anymore.
Not anymore.
Leah. Leah, don't.
Who is she fighting? That's the thing. Like, who's she using her light whip on?
She doesn't pull out her light whip lightly. She
No.
uses it when she needs. She either uses it for utility, which I don't think that that was the case there, or she uses it in really dire straits.
Okay, so do we think that she is on Kofar in that shot?
Why does everyone want to go back to Kofar?
I don't
I
know.
don't
We
want to go back to
should still we should
Kofar.
stop going. Like, we should have never gone there in the first place.
Is
I just
Kofar the Dalna of the Acolyte?
Oh,
Oh
100%.
no.
See, that's a thing, is that I'm so excited for Vernestra to go to Kofar, even though it has a curse on it, apparently, because it reminds me so much of the scene in Tears, Temptation of the Force, where she's with Marcion Rowe.
You know what it reminds me of?
Oh no.
Why
What?
they might be going back to Kofar?
Why?
Remember how at the end of Path of Deceit, Aslan Rel is sent
Oh, no, I
to
don't like
recover the
this.
remains?
Stop it.
Oh, badly.
And he comes back with just the lightsabers to add to the
Oh,
Kyber
no, this is terrible.
shut up. You're so right. I think for because I wonder if Sol and May are gonna make it back to the temple. I'm wondering if Vernestra goes there because she is trying to track them down because they haven't contacted the temple or anything. So she goes out to check on them and she's gonna find all of their bodies.
This is
Is
sick.
Vernestra going to inherit another Padawan? Is she going
Oh
to
God.
inherit Tassie?
I can't do
Welcome back,
this.
Imrie
There's too many Padawans without masters now.
This is
I
not.
can't believe this episode gave us both a new entry to the Dead Masters Club and a new entry to the Dead Padawans Club.
It's gut-wrenching.
I knew that Sol and Salandra had something in common.
No, not Miss Show. Oh
I
my
love that I can
gosh.
say anything and I just see it dealing psychic damage to Lynn.
I know. Oh, I was, my stomach hurts so bad after that
Okay,
episode.
so to talk about something else other than death, was it the fighting in this episode just fantastic? The second fight with Kimir and Sol was just amazing with no lightsaber.
And with Jackie.
Yeah,
Jackie dual wielding.
Jackie's badass at dual wielding. She's good at that. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Rupert Natani. But All of the fighting was so good. And this whole, most of the episode was a giant fight scene, just kind
Yeah.
of spread out to different characters throughout it. And one, props to Chimer for isolating the Jedi because he absolutely knows that if he's outnumbered, he's going to have a rough time. And also just how we got so many different types of fights. We got very physical grappling fight between Jackie and May because neither of them were trying to kill the other in that whole fight. They were just trying to, May was just trying to escape and Jackie was just trying to pin her down.
Yeah,
So that was
that's
a very
true.
different kind of fight from like when Sol and Chimer were fighting, where they wanted to just kill each other. Or from when Jackie was defending May from Chimer in the fight, where he would swing at her and Jackie would jump in at the last second and block his saber. I do think it's interesting that it was always Jackie blocking his attacks, not Sol.
Yeah, interesting point.
I think it's so It's so interesting how they told so much about these characters through how they fight. How Jackie's fighting was entirely based on compassion for May. How Sol seemed very one-track mind, which is probably why he wasn't doing that, even though he also had a very vested interest in keeping May safe. Super interesting.
And the point you made about how Chimer was so smart to separate them, not just proximity-wise, but also even when he had the two fighting against him and he shorted out their lightsabers and then they redoubled back and he was skewering them on his lightsaber. But amidst that, if I recall the sequence of events correctly, he wounded Yord because I think he realized he couldn't do it, like he couldn't kill him in that moment with all of them right there, but he could wound him to get him out of the way till he finished the others.
Yeah.
Like, that was so smart. That was such tactical fighting. And like you were saying, his up close combat was crazy, but then also he could throw his lightsaber really well
Yeah.
and have it come right back to him. Like, this guy is crazy.
I think the way that he fought felt extremely, if not Sith, like pure Darksider to me. Because when he would injure someone, like how he injured Yord, he either did it just to kill outright, or he did it to remove them from the fight temporarily, but so that they could still fight later and, you know, he could still finish them off. Whereas when Jedi wound someone non-lethally, they always are doing it with the intent to stop the fight entirely. And the only Sith who we see fight like that is Dooku, who was trained as a Jedi for his entire life up until, you know, not that long before he became a Sith.
This is what makes me wonder if Chimer was a Jedi or was trained by a dark side user who was a Jedi.
I think that his whole thing about like wanting freedom from the rules of the Jedi, which sounds really great until you consider that he wants freedom to apparently poison and murder people. Is it could go either way. He could be like maybe he's from, you know, some other group like Anaseia's coven where he saw the Jedi's interfering with them, or he could be, you know, your former Padawan type who just got disillusioned with, there's all these rules. I'm not allowed to force choke someone. What's with that?
He just wants to cause havoc and murder. That's all. That's all. Oh
A little murder.
my goodness.
Look, pretty men get to do a little homicide. It's fine.
Also with Osha stopping Sol right as he was about to kill Khmer, and then that being not exactly the reason why, but a very high contributing factor to why Yord and Jenki kind of what is it? Bit the dust. That, like, I don't know, that moment. I know that if that were to have happened, like, that's the ideal thing that we all want to happen because it means the Jedi win. But when it
But it
doesn't.
also means the Jedi lose because Sol would have been destroyed if he had done that.
Yeah, that's so true.
And
Very
in that case,
Elzar man.
it goes back to those theories that like, how do you kill a Jedi without a weapon? You make the Jedi kill an unarmed person. You kill the dream. I think that if not Chimer himself, since he would be a corpse, but the Sith in general, the dark side in general, would win. Thinking about it like that, it does feel very Palpatine, where like every single plan that he had, whichever way it goes, he still wins.
Yeah.
Well, and this also brings up a point, OSHA stopped Sol because OSHA still believes in the tenets of the Jedi
Right.
and has consistently done so all the way up to this point. And yeah, all the way up to this point, we thought maybe she was gonna have some sort of reconciliation with her sister, but it wasn't the right kind of reconciliation. And so OSHA didn't want to give in to that and didn't want to believe that the Jedi had brainwashed her and they were wrong. And so she continued to go after May and say, like, oh, I'm gonna bring you in, I'm gonna arrest you. And so it really makes me fearful that when the truth does come out to OSHA, it's going to do a lot more harm because it's just going to like rock her world. I don't know. I feel like there's going to be something that happens. She's going to learn the truth or the truth, what we think is the truth, or what Chimer thinks is the truth. Chimer's going to tell. And then I don't know. I'm afraid for her. I'm afraid she's going to, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm prepared to eat my words, but I really don't feel like she will fall. I really think that, like, because everything we've seen of her, everything we've seen, she is so compassionate to a fault. She showed compassion to Chimer when killing him would have saved lives, but it also would have been killing an unarmed person, and that's not what she does. She sacrificed her own safety in like the very first episode to save a prisoner she didn't even know. She was, shocked by this ability to feel this creature, accidentally woke it up, and then that led to it getting killed. And she was like, wow, I feel so bad that I caused this thing to die, even when it was Sol who lit his lightsaber and attracted it to them.
I don't,
Just,
I don't.
she's so good that I just can't see her falling.
I just wonder if they're going to pull, and I don't want her to fall either, but I almost wonder if they're going to pull a Revan Bastila on us where, May in this position, you know what I'm saying? May was Revan, and then she's going to have, she's going to meet up with Sol, and Sol is gonna work on her heart, and she's gonna be going maybe towards the path of the light. And then OSHA, being Bastila, gets captured by the dark side and has a momentary lapse and falls, but then everything's okay in the end. It's a very, I don't know, it just
Maybe
reminds
I
me
need
so
to
much of that.
replay KOTOR.
You should. But you have to go light side. You have to go light side.
Of course. I haven't played KOTOR since high school. Wow.
It's so
KOTOR
good.
1.
Yeah.
I played KOTOR 2 again in college, but
I
yeah.
feel like Leslie would pull that on us.
Oh, she absolutely would.
I don't, and I don't think that OSHA would have like a full fall. Like I think
Yeah.
it'd be like one of those temporary things,
I think
but
I think we would definitely have a moment kind of like maybe one step further than Luke like maybe force choking one of the Gamorrean guards and wearing all black and being kind of ominous as he walks into Jabba's palace. A moment of like, did she fall? Did we what
yeah.
happened? Can see that happening. I don't, yeah,
Yeah.
I agree with you that if she does have a brush with the dark side, what's the quote? I've accepted my darkness. What have you done with yours?
Yeah.
I don't think that if she does have this brush with darkness, which maybe now I want her to, just for the plot, I don't think that she would push it down, hide it, like Sol has apparently done. And I don't think that she would like fully embrace it, fully accept it. I think that she would recognize it and then let it go.
Welcome back, Elzar
Welcome back, Tantum Sai, as well.
man. Exactly.
I love when the Jedi is not denying emotion, but recognizing the emotions, feeling them, learning from them, and then letting them go.
Yes. I hope we have that moment in the Acolyte.
This episode really made me think, like, who do we think is actually surviving the season?
Would be really interesting to see if nobody did and it was just the sisters.
It's just, do you mean nobody? Does that include Renestra?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I mean, they are doing a second season. That's a thing, is that there's
They
going to be
might
a
be doing a
second.
second season. It's not 100% confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know.
Because we do know that the ending isn't a cliffhanger. But I also don't think that it's like rocks fall, everybody dies. It's somewhere in between. I do think it's plausible that it is just the Anaiseia sisters who make it out. I think if any other characters are likely to make it to the end, would be Vernestra, just because she's kind of peripheral to the main conflict. I don't think Sol's making it out. And I don't think Chimer's making it out either.
Same. Those are my guesses
I
too.
love them both. I've loved them since the first second they were on the screen. I don't think either of them are making it through the season.
All bets are off now.
All bets are off now. We just lost two of the fan favorite characters who they definitely knew were going to be fan favorites.
I feel like I've been stabbed in the heart, but it'll be
And so
okay.
Becky coded.
Leah.
Stop. Stop it.
Someone posted a picture of Swiss cheese and said, "Look, new Jackie character poster."
No.
So I'm far from the meanest person.
Somebody just posted like three black dots, like one, and then in like a pyramid shape, and I was like, how dare you? Someone just
Renestra's.
posted like the face of a bowling ball with the, and I
Vernestra's gonna be so upset about this, and she doesn't even have any more hair to cut off
like,
in her distress.
no.
Because we all know that that's what she does when the going gets tough.
So true. It's so real of Vernestra
It's so real of her.
to grab
She
the
can't.
scissors slash lightsaber and just chop off her hair.
She's gonna get in trouble. Like, she didn't report this to the Jedi Council, and now it's like really a big deal. Like, they
Welcome
just
back,
lost.
Avar
Exactly.
Chris. I keep
They
using
just
the
lost
welcome
so
back
many.
joke, but like,
It's good. It's like right on the nose every time.
they just
I.
lost so many of them.
To like wrap up our morning on recording, I want this to be a Breaking Dawn part two snow fight scene so badly where this is all in somebody's head, but I have a feeling that it's probably not. But I want that like that same shock value where you see Carlisle's head be chopped off and then all of your favorite characters are dying like I and then only for the reveal to be that it was somebody being shown a vision or somebody being like, oh, I just want that, but that's why I'm not a writer in the writer's room.
Because I know it can't be at this point because like May and Sol have gone off and they're like it doesn't feel like it could be true,
I know.
but like Kalnaka was like playing with witchery in his hut and
Yeah.
the stupid dirt outside just makes me, and then the forest is sick. There's something wrong with the forest. I don't know,
That's
all
right.
those
The
things,
forest is sick.
like all those
Yeah.
things
Welcome
makes me
back,
think that.
the blight. Oh, this is the
Oh.
end of Temptation of the Force all over again.
You know
Oh
what
my
this really
God.
felt like? This felt like Elzar's vision at the end of Light of the Jedi.
Yes.
So true. So true. Okay. So not to go and talk about the High Republic, but I still,
It's
well,
all the High Republic.
exactly.
It's all Ohio, always has been. It's all the High Republic, always has been.
We should call it the Low Republic, considering how low it makes me feel. But somebody mentioned that not everybody has died yet in Elzard's vision.
Shut up. Who else is in the vision?
Avar.
Shut up. Wait, no, but she did. She did.
She did. She did
Her soul
die.
left. Her soul left her body. This is how I read it in Temptation of the Forest. Her soul left her body there for a second.
Oh, okay. I know what you mean now. She did die.
So,
She
she.
died
I
and she
mean,
came back. Welcome back, Avar Prince.
technically, his
That
technically that part of his vision could have been fulfilled in that
is
second.
so true. Okay. Well, hopefully. Avar, tomato, tomato.
Leah, don't burst my
I
bubble
wasn't gonna
here.
say it. I wasn't gonna say anything. This whole episode feels like I was being attacked by the Nameless.
100%. It was like 15 starlight beacons.
This was my nightmare.
This was my starlight beacon.
Wanna know what was really my starlight beacon? My starlight beacon was when I first read the line "Missing, presumed dead" in Midnight Horizon. That was my starlight beacon. I think I
No.
read that line and then I just didn't stop crying until the book ended. And then that
That
happened again when I read "I Love You More" in Path of Deceit. Anyway,
Oh no. We don't talk about Path of Deceit.
this is.
I'm just
Yeah.
kidding.
Basically, what I'm saying is this show has perfectly matched the energy of the High Republic book.
100. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It really has. It really has.
There are some diseases that have not yet been discovered in the writers' brains. We need to study these people. We need to study these people.
Oh my God.
So impressed by all of the decisions that were made for this episode. It really is, it's such a good culmination of so many of the plot threads, or a twist in so many of the plot threads. I'm just so excited.
Me too.
Me
I'm excited
too.
to see where we go, where the what the writers have cooked up for us. But Linz, do you wanna ask our question?
Okay. So
Okay.
every single, so wrapping it up, every single guest we have on, we ask them this one question. If you could shadow any Star Wars character for a day, who would you shadow? You could be their best friend, their little helper, whatever, in any occupation alongside them.
That's a good question. So my first thought, but I don't think this is going to be my answer, was Ty Yorick, just because I know that she would hate having me shadow her,
That's a
because
good
she always hates having someone tagging along with her, even though she always has someone tagging along with her. As dangerous as it would be, as likely as I would be to end up in an imperial prison, I do think it would be really fun to shadow Chelilona Afra for a day.
Yes.
Even if it would
Yes.
end up with me, I don't know, dead in a trap in a ruin on a backwater planet, I just think it would be fun. At any point in her career, it could be just a wild ride. Yeah, Chelilona Afra.
That's a good one. What about you, Linz?
I think that this week, okay, first off, my last two were Jackie and Yord.
Sorry.
I don't even know what to say to that. But this week it's going to be Orla.
That's a good one.
I would like
Also,
to
sorry.
yeah.
stop it.
She's dead too, girly.
Stop it. She's alive in my heart. But yeah,
All your
I'd love
faves are
to.
doomed. I'm
I know.
sorry.
I know. It's the same with Savi. Savi's right there with me. He.
One time I got a text message from Emily where she said, "Let me know when you're done reading Path of the Sea." So I said, "Okay." So I did it. I texted her. I was like, "I'm done." And she was like, "Your sense of liking characters that always die is astounding." It's because we're Rogue One fans. Because we like Rogue
We
One.
can't
I
get
think
away
that's what
from
it
it.
is. Yeah.
We can't get away from it. But what about you, Savi? What's your character this week?
I always want to say Torben Buck. Like, it just never changes. I've said it a few times. I think I've said it like twice in a row, but I'm trying to look at my pin board to see if there's a character on there. I would actually love to shadow one of the Chiss officers, but she's been in my brain. But Vutro,
Yeah.
I would love to hang out with Vutro. She is such a girl's girl. Like, I just feel like there would be a lot of friendly banter and, like, I don't know, good vibes. She literally pulls Arlani like out of her commanding persona.
Yeah.
I feel like Wutro would just like never let me have a bad day. To the point where Arlani has to be like, "Okay, I have to step back into my shoes. Like, this is my friend. I know that this is my friend, but like we're working right now."
We are in a battle.
Yeah. She's like, "Oh, Lutro. Okay, wait." I love them. Okay, so Lutro, Aphra, and Orla. I feel like that's a good trio. They would cause a lot of trouble together.
I love
Yeah.
it.
If we could have any two characters meet, this is just something that I want to talk about. Who, from different eras, who would they be?
Oh.
I already had my answer, which is why I asked it, but I would die to see Elzar Mann meet Jyn Erso.
Oh
I think he
my
would
God.
love her. I don't have a
I
reason for that. It's for my own personal benefit. However you
So
guys
mine
said.
is a deep cut, but Barnabas Vim
Barnabas and him.
from the Quest of the Jedi one-shot comic from Phase Two, and Micah Gray, the archaeologist from Star Wars Resistance.
Okay.
And why would you want those two to meet?
I just think that it would be wild to have a Jedi explorer adventurer and a explorer adventurer archaeologist who studies the Jedi, studies the Force, but doesn't have any Jedi around to like actually talk about that stuff with.
Yeah.
I just think it would be very interesting. Plus, I would do anything for more of those two. They are criminally underrepresented in their stories.
Would love to see it as well.
About you, Linz?
Oh gosh. I wanted to say these two characters, but one of them's actually alive still, so I can't. Oh, what's her name? Their name. Maz Kanata's Jedi buddy.
Oh, Sav.
Sav Maligan.
Sav meeting Hondo Ohnaka.
Oh, that's a good one. That's you
Oh,
cooked with
he
that
would
one, Linz.
love her.
Yeah.
Yes. I would love to see it.
You would love her.
if only. I was gonna say Maz Kanata, but then I was like, Maz is alive. What am I
Yeah,
saying?
Maz is alive at every point that we know of in the Star Wars timeline.
I kind of
Every
love that for
story that
her.
we have gotten in Star Wars, she is somewhere.
And you know that Maz and Hondo have history. They've gotten into it. They have crossed paths. They have done business. They have fallen out. You know that that's
I feel like
happened.
Maz has crossed paths with so many of the movers and shakers in the galaxy.
Oh,
Yeah.
100%.
Because,
The
I mean, like,
stories she could tell.
she was in a QPR with Dexter Jetster. Anything is
Like,
fair game for Maz Kanata.
I love that. I want more of Maz. We need more.
When do we get the animated anthology Tales from Maz's Castle?
I would love that.
Tales of Takodana. I don't know.
We need to go to the writers. We need to go
Dave
to them. We need to
Filoni, I have a
pitch.
billion-dollar idea.
Yeah, we need to go pitch it to them. Okay, so where can we find you, Leah, on social media?
You can find me on most socials, Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, at Deus Ex Valorate. Deus Ex as in Machina, and Valorate as in estradiol valerate, the exogenous hormone. Yeah.
And Linz, where can we find you?
We can find me. You can find me at A Cosmic Love on Twitter and at Rebel Risen on Instagram. And where can we find you?
You can find me at Anderzooms on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And that's all for this week of this episode of Stardust Records. We will see you next week for hopefully a much happier episode.
I doubt
Yeah, so true.
it.
That's all for this week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.